71 and 18. Psalms chapter 71, verse number 18. It says, "Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is come." Hallelujah. God, let me have enough strength to establish the old landmarks to make sure the next generation. Hallelujah. Now, I was going to dye my hair black, but now that it says gray-headed, hallelujah. You know, we can't, you know what we're saying when we change things in our life? God, I don't like what you're doing. You know, winter is supposed to look like winter. Fall is supposed to look like fall. And we can't change that. How can we change our appearance? And that's another subject. Isaiah 40. In verse 29, "He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength." Amen. And then Luke 10. Verse 19. "Behold, I give you power to tread or trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Amen. "Behold, I give unto you power." Hallelujah. Tonight's going to be a little different, but if you'll just stay with me for a little while, maybe we can do some transferring of power. Amen. Or at least make you aware of the power you already have. Lord, we ask your blessing, your touch, your anointing upon your word. God, let your word go forth unhindered. And God, it's all to you. All of the glory. It's your words. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Very familiar scripture. We quote it all the time. We cut our teeth on it as Pentecostals. It's Acts 1 and 8. It says, "But ye shall receive power," when? After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. We didn't have much power before the Holy Ghost came on us. We made commitments, we were determined, but then after the Holy Ghost came upon us, well, we made some changes in our life, and it was easy to make the changes because of the power that he gave us. It says, "Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." So here God is transferring his power to us. This is so important for us to understand that it isn't just his power that we borrow from time to time, but it's power that he has already transformed and transferred to us for us to use the power. And that word power in the Greek is dunamis, from which we get the word dynamite. Most of you have heard that. It means miraculous power. The intent of the gift was to empower the believers that didn't have power in order to live for God or overcome this flesh or the enemy. Not just to make us feel good or punch our ticket to heaven. It isn't just that we can have a good time in our Pentecostal services. The Holy Ghost is not just an add-on or just a form of communication with God through the Spirit. Jesus said it is power like dynamite. Amen. We've got a bunch of sticks of dynamite in this place tonight. From the very beginning of creation, this world has been looking for a superhero. We're still looking for a superhero. We're looking for somebody who is going to be, well, somehow transform bad situations into good situations. Someone that had supernatural power to overcome the villains of this world. And it's so easy, it works into comic books and it works into all kinds of things. Superheroes, our kids are looking for a superhero, and we got a superhero right in front of them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You see, we recognize our own frailties and our inadequacies, so there is something inherent within us that says we need someone we can fall back on. We need somebody that will take our back, you see. Something supernatural that can do what we can't do on our own. What's the guarantees? What's the insurance? Where's the backup program, you see? And when the world doesn't know God, they invent someone to be their heroes. Maybe a quarterback, you know, maybe a home run hitter, and we can wear their jerseys and make us feel good. But some of the more obvious superheroes are Captain Marvel, Batman, Spider-Man, the Transformer, RoboCop, Captain Kirk of the Starship Enterprise will come from another world and he'll bail you out. Someone to come to your rescue, bigger and badder, to vanquish the enemy in your life. Oh, I got to have a superhero. But if you are more sophisticated, you discount those superheroes. A specialist in the medical field. A high-priced lawyer to defend you. A new president that will supernaturally fix all of the problems in our country. A government that'll give you all of the necessities of life so you don't have to worry about anything. We're still looking for a superhero. We want some confidence that everything is going to be all right. There was a superhero created by a couple of high school students in 1933. His name, Superman. Some of you still wear his pajamas. You know, the big S. That stands for Schumacher, by the way. What a guy. The best of the best of the superheroes, more powerful than a locomotive, faster than a speeding bullet, able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. I heard it every week. The story is his father sent him to another world as a baby because his world was being destroyed, Krypton. No, it wasn't Bethlehem. He sent him to Kansas. That's according to the story. He was raised by earthlings unaware of his supernatural power. There are people who are unaware of the supernatural power in this world. And as he reached maturity, he started using the supernatural power, maybe at the age of 30. He wouldn't reveal his identity to anyone. Only a few of his closest friends and closest family knew about his superpower. You know, there are a whole lot of people that don't know about his superpower, folks. Only his closest friends, only his family does he reveal how powerful he... I'm not talking about Superman. This story reminds me of somebody. When there was trouble or someone to rescue, he would look for a phone booth to change. You'd have trouble today, wouldn't he? He'd go from the mild-mannered Clark Kent to the all-powerful, fly-in-the-sky Superman. And today, well, he's just as powerful to those who will believe the fantasy of Superman because they're looking for a hero that doesn't exist to them. What always amazed me is that Superman could hide his identity to everybody around him with just a pair of glasses. I'm incognito. Nobody knows how powerful I really am. Church, we could become Clark Kents instead of supernatural church like God really wants us to be. Hallelujah. There's nothing mild-mannered about the church of the living God. We need to reveal ourselves because there are so many people who really need a superhero. And I know a God that can heal you and deliver you. Hallelujah. Amen. Everyone wants to know him for the wrong reason. That's Superman. And I think there are a lot of people who want to know God for the wrong reason. But the only ones he revealed is those who really, really wanted to know him. Although he really did show his interest in Lois Lane. You know? He was still so shy that he would not approach Lois Lane until she somehow, you know, told him her feelings towards him. And oh, there was one arch enemy, supervillain, Lex Luthor. Lex Luthor was the most evil person on the face of the earth, an evil one always trying to injure and kill good people, but there was a Superman. I wonder where all this story came from.
Yes, amen.
I mean, doesn't it parallel our God? Comes from a different place as a baby. The Father sent him here in order to save the world that nobody else could. Hallelujah. He's more powerful than a locomotive. He's faster than a speeding bullet. He can leap cities with a single bound. I've never seen him fly, but I certainly believe he can. And Jesus said, "But you shall receive power, supernatural power, after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you." Tonight, I would like to reveal the real Superman to you. It's every one of us that have been filled with the Holy Ghost. We underestimate the power that God has put within us. We're asking God to come to our rescue when God is already in us. He has given that power. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We sing, "I've got power that you can't see. Jesus is living inside of me. I can face any enemy, for God and I are a majority." Superman could overcome all enemies except for one. We know what his weakness was. It was kryptonite. You bring kryptonite around Superman and he's as helpless as any other person. He couldn't freeze a pond with his breath anymore. His eyes could not pierce steel like they used to because the kryptonite made him weak. Well, where's our parallel? We have power that you can't see. It's Jesus that's living inside of me. But if we allow sin in our life, all of a sudden we're powerless. Oh, I want to live for God, but I want to. Oh, I want to be faithful, but I want to. And then we're wondering why we're so frustrated because we don't have the power that the Bible talks about.
Amen.
It's because kryptonite has entered into our lives. Hallelujah. It robs us of the power of the Father who sent us to save the world. Church, we can't just walk around in this world disguised as mild-mannered Clark Kent. We have to somehow show the rest of the world we've got power that you can't see. If you're looking for a superhero, there are superheroes in this building tonight. And people need to be aware there is a church. There are people, you know, There's probably not a service that I don't pray for a handkerchief or pray for somebody, and I have to apologize to you because I get regular testimonies of people who have been healed and delivered and all kinds of things that have happened. But we take it sometimes for granted that this just happens in our church, and do we not tell the world about what's going on with us? Hallelujah. Take the glasses off. Step into the role that Jesus wants us to step into. Acts 4 and 33 says, "And with great power," that's dunamis, "gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace," and that word grace really means miraculous acts, "was upon them all." So what it is saying is great acts of miracles was on each and every one of the disciples. Now, why wouldn't that still run true today? Amen. Hallelujah. We're still looking back 2,000 years to confirm that we should have that power when God is saying, "Hey, listen, I put the dunamis, I put the dynamite within you. Use it. Light the fuse." Would you turn with me to 1 Thessalonians, the first chapter? First Thessalonians 1 and verse number 5 says, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only." I'm thinking there are a lot of churches who just, well, they preach the word, they'll read the word, but that's as far as it goes. It's word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know, what manner of men we were among you for your sakes. So what Paul is saying is, listen, it wasn't just that I distributed the word to you. There was some action here. You understand that this word becomes alive to you. When God says, "By my stripes you are healed," those are words of power, not just words of edification. Hebrews 2 and 4. Hebrews 2, verse number 4, it says, "God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his will." So God is saying that he gave signs as witnesses. This morning we had a message in tongues and interpretation. We had visitors in the house of God. We could get to the place where we don't want to offend anybody, and we somehow squash the Spirit of God so we're not offending anybody. When God's saying, "Hey, this is what I have given you to demonstrate how powerful I really am. These signs shall follow them that believe. They shall cast out devils in my name. They shall speak in new tongues. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." They may recover. No, they shall recover. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. 1, it says, Paul saying, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Why? "That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Amen. Hallelujah. Don't be impressed by the speaking of a preacher or a teacher or even how many scriptures that they can memorize. Yes, most of us can memorize scriptures, and yes, it does make a difference. But you know what? There has to be a demonstration of God's power more than just the word itself. Now, I've never actually seen Superman change into from Clark Kent. In the programs that I've seen as a kid, he'd walk into a phone booth, and before you know it, he was out of the phone booth in his blue and red and his cape. It just happened so fast, like in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Changed. Hallelujah. I've seen people who are alcoholics and drug addicts come up to the altar, lift their hands, and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, now they went from Clark Kent to Superman, a power in order to live. They didn't have a 12-step program. They didn't go through all kinds of classes in order to be delivered. Hallelujah. There was a quick change that produced power. And that's what happens when we're filled with the Holy Ghost. Philippians 3 and 21 says, "Who shall change our vile bodies that they may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself." Hallelujah. And I know we sometimes just feel that, well, that's going to happen at the rapture. But you know what? He's able to subdue all things right now. We struggle because we don't recognize the dynamite that we have within us. Hallelujah. Matthew 28 and 18 says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Now, he didn't say that until after his crucifixion and resurrection. But after he laid down his life, after he submitted to the Father, if you will, the flesh to the Spirit, now all of a sudden, there's all power given to him in heaven as well as earth. And the word power in the Greek is exousia, meaning force, control, superhuman potentate or sovereign king. In the Greek, it actually says superhuman strength. Jesus Amen. Is our Superman.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Would you turn to 1 John, the 4th chapter? First John chapter 4, starting in verse number 3. "And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." We're talking about Christ in you, the hope of glory. And if all power is given to Christ in heaven and earth, and the same Jesus is within us, then greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. God gave us the first prototype of power of the Spirit-filled church in the Old Testament. Everything that we have experienced in the New Testament, God has somehow have a shadow and type, a prototype in the Old Testament, showing us what we could be when we become the church of the living God. Amen. Men like Samson, his strength, it wasn't because he lifted weights all the time. He went to the gym. He worked out on a regular basis. It wasn't even because of his hair, although his hair was a consecration to God as a Nazarite, and he didn't cut his hair. There's a shadow and type for even the hair of Samson giving him power and strength because, ladies, you have power on your head with angels. Hallelujah. It wasn't that. It was the Spirit of God that came over him that gave him the strength. And the same was true with David. So if you turn to Judges, the 14th chapter, I'm not preaching long tonight. Judges chapter 14 and verse number 5 It says, "Then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath, and came to the vineyard of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him." That's what I want you to see. When the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hands, but he told not his father and his mother what he had done. So he gets attacked. He doesn't have anything to defend himself, but all of a sudden the Spirit of God came over him and he got victory over this surprise attack from a lion. Ever just mind your own business? You're at work, you're in a family gathering, and all of a sudden you're attacked by somebody, and the Spirit of God comes over you. You know, you refrain from responding in the way that your flesh wants to respond. And then all of a sudden, God gives you words to countermand that which is coming after you. Hallelujah. It happens over and over again. And then Judges 15 and 14. And when he came onto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. Isn't it great? Every time we're attacked, God's saying, "Hey, let my Spirit fall on you." And the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loosed from off his hands. He tried to capture him. They tried to ambush him. But every time he had some kind of Lex Luthor come after him, he just shook himself. The Spirit of God came over him and got the victory. Glory to God. You think that could happen to us, folks? Where did Samson, Superman, power come from? Judges 14 and 6 says, "And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him." Judges 6 and 34 said, "And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he defeated 150,000 Midianites with 300 men. And the Spirit of God came over him and gave them the victory." 1 Samuel 16 and 13 said, "The Spirit of the Lord came upon David. And David was able to kill a lamb, and he was able to kill a bear, and he is able to kill that which all of the army of Israel could not take care of, this 10-foot Goliath who kept shouting at Israel like they're dogs." So what has been attacking you lately? What's been the thing that has bothered you? Any threats, any attacks from an enemy, anything that you're not able to handle? Is the flesh coming against you? Let me ask you, has the Spirit of the Lord come upon you in song service? Has the Spirit of the Lord come upon you when you're reading the Word of God? Has the Spirit of the Lord come upon you when you're praying for somebody else? If that same Spirit comes upon you mightily, then you are totally equipped in order to handle any problem that you have in your life. Samson shook himself and defeated all of the enemy, and so did David, and so did Gideon, and so many of the patriarchs in the Old Testament. They knew where the power was. Elijah and Elisha, they knew a double portion of God's Spirit is all they needed in order to be equipped to handle any situation in their life. How much more should we get the victory? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Would you turn to Romans, the 8th chapter? Romans chapter 8, verse number 31. It says, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If you haven't already underlined that, you need to underline that. Go back to it probably once a week. If God is for us, who could be against us? There shouldn't be any fear in the church because God is in complete control in our lives. He that spareth not his own son, but delivereth him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded by the Holy Ghost that neither death, nor life, nor angel, nor principality, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. Amen. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? God is always wanting us to take a stand. He puts the whole armor of God on us, and then he says, stand. Stand. Why? Because there's not going to be any problems. There's not going to be any battles. No, there will be battles. But he's saying, you know what? I have equipped you to take care of any situation in your life. Yes, it's good to have the church pray. Yes, it's good to have the pastor pray. But you know what? You have the same power in you. Hallelujah. He's not a respecter of persons. Amen. And so we've got 12 spies checking out the promised land. They're waiting to go into that which God has promised them. And you know, God has given all kinds of promises to us, but there are some sicknesses that are they're just too hard. There are some situations even God can't handle. We get to that place where we start to evaluate the situations that we're praying for, and sometimes we come to the conclusion, well, God could do this, but he could never do that because it just seems impossible. But is there anything too hard for our God? So would you turn to Numbers, the 13th chapter? And verse number 32. Starting in verse number 31, it says, but the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Okay, you rationalized in your own mind what you can do. Now, if there's anything that we need to overcome tonight is don't evaluate your situation based on your abilities, your strength, your accomplishments. You know, because all of a sudden we're down. That's it. I can't. I give up, God. I've got a situation at home. I got a situation at work. I've got a situation that I don't know how anything could help me. But if we just turned it over to God and had enough faith to believe that greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. If God promised it to you, God's going to make a way for us to be able to handle it. If God said, now, I want you to get rid of this or get rid of that, I want you to, he's going to make a way. He never asks us to do anything that he couldn't allow us to do or give us the power in order to handle. And verse 32 says, and they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all of the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. Man, this problem is harder than any other situation. I know God's taking care of some little things in my life, but listen, I got the diagnosis. I got the pink slip. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. We thought we could never do anything, therefore the enemy looked at us as having no power. This world needs a Superman. This world needs a hero. Our kids are looking for superheroes in all kinds of situations. Hallelujah. With athletes and with people who have obtained fame, and then 2 weeks later they're divorced or they're in jail or they're in drugs or what. How in the world can we look to this world for superheroes? Church, God has created a new generation of supermen and superwomen. This generation. Now, I believe we're so close to the second coming of Jesus Christ that he's doing a quick work and he's giving power that we can't imagine, power to see some things happen. Hallelujah. Gray-headed people who are saying, God, give me enough power in order to change the generation that I'm living in. We're called the church. We're called the ecclesia. We are called to be the called out ones. This is not our home. We're just from another planet. We're strangers. We're pilgrims in the land. God has sent us to this place with power from another world in order to overcome and to demonstrate all those who need rescuing. We could do it to rescue those who are attacked. And we need to shake ourselves and allow the Spirit of God to come upon us and demonstrate to the world we've matured enough in order to see the miraculous happen in our lives, in the lives of other people that are around us. If the world ever needed superheroes, it's today, before the sound of the last trump. Forget the phone booth. Duck into the church and be changed into power. And please, please, stay away from the kryptonite. Hallelujah. Oh, I want power, but I want to fool around. Sorry. Sorry. There came a time when Samson shook himself one more time, but because he was involved in sin, the power did not rest upon him, and the enemy took him captive. Don't be the saint who messes around with kryptonite and then thinking, well, I can always shake myself. No, you can't. The church has to be the church. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. I've got power that you can't see. Jesus is living inside of me. I can face any enemy. Do you believe it?
Amen.
Amen. The altar's open. Would you come?